It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Week one of the NFL. We made it, folks. We made it. Been a while, but we made it. Joining us now to talk quarterbacks is Jeff Howe, NFL National Insider for The Athletic. You can follow him at Jeff P. Howe. You should do it. Jeff, what up, man? Thanks for joining us.
Of course. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Doing good, man.
We're doing well, man. I mean, for somebody like you that has to create content year-round and know how much interest there is all the time on football, how excited are you to get to week one?
I'll be a little more excited in about a day and a half when all my season preview stuff is out of the way. And then I can just focus on what's going on the rest of the weekend.
I got you. Well, let's start with probably something that took a lot of time for you. Is the quarterback stock report going into week one? No surprise who's at the top of this thing in Mahomes. Maybe take us through the top five of the quarterbacks you think kind of going up, going down, and why.
Yeah, this is a pretty cool project that we're hoping is going to evolve throughout the course of the season, something we've actually been workshopping for the better part of a year. So excited to get it rolling, I think, today. And, yeah, Mahomes is number one. That's pretty easy. Number two and three, I thought they're – you know, Josh Allen is two. Joe Burrow is three. At this time last year, I would have put Burrow at two. But Josh Allen really hasn't had any injury concerns, and Joe Burrow has had plenty of those. So that's why Allen got the nod over him. And then a lot of this, too, wasn't just necessarily my opinion or whatever. It was I've spent so much time talking to various teams around the league over the last 6-7 weeks that I tried to get a lot of their feedback to see where the landscape is. And you know, we've got a cool story coming out tomorrow that's going to show a lot of that work, too. But we've got Lamar Jackson at four. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory coming off his second MVP. And then five was something that I certainly wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people disagreed with, but Aaron Rodgers. I mean, coming off of just four snaps, as we all know, last season, and the Jets are still a massive question mark. But just talking with people around the league, there's still so much respect for Rodgers and what he's potentially capable of. And if that line holds up, Aaron Rodgers is going to be an MVP candidate. But, you know, it's a massive unknown. And I think there were some fun decisions along the way. Certainly, like, some tiers where you can you ask 10 different people, you'll get 10 different results. But I think that's the fun part of it.
For sure. you know, I couldn't help but notice there's a lot I want to talk about, and I appreciate you joining us. You had C.J. Stroud down a little bit at number seven, not far. But
top 10 is great.
Top 10 is great, but I think Stroud, a lot of people are expecting to vault into the Mahomes-Allen-Burrow conversation. What do you think of the situation down in Houston?
I think it's outstanding. I can't believe how quickly C.J. Stroud – I mean, D'Amico Ryans, I think everybody knew that he had the tools to be an incredibly successful head coach, and there's a lot going on down there that's, you know, positive around D'Amico, but – how quickly that D'Amico did that and helped turn it around. I mean, look at the way Nick Caserio has drafted, very patiently kind of surrounding the roster with talent and guys who he knew would fit what they're trying to do. And then with Stroud coming on and playing as well as he did, I mean, nobody saw that coming as quickly as it was going to happen. And you look at the way that they took some of their lumps at the start of last season, it was fairly surprising to see him surge and to play as well as just about any quarterback in the league. Mm-hmm. I mean, down the stretch of the regular season, there's an argument to be made that Stroud was playing better than Mahomes. Now, I'm not saying that Stroud belongs in that conversation at all, but just the way that he was playing at the end of the regular season, he was playing as well as anybody. It's funny, like you said, that he's down, and you could absolutely make the case that he could be as high as five. If you want to put him over Rodgers or certainly Herbert, I thought people would be mad that he was actually too high just because of how young he is. But yeah. Again, you know, some of that will show my reasoning for that. I don't mean to like be an old, you know, a giant tease here, but you know, we've got a league survey story coming out tomorrow, the third annual one that I've done. And you'll see why I had him, what I thought was pretty high. But I absolutely agree. He has the chance to probably get into that Allen Burrow Jackson category or tier by the end of the season. But, yeah, I mean, that was a fun one.
But Allen, okay, a guy who has a lot of talent, who does some great things. He does a lot of bad things for a guy of his caliber, like fumbles and turnovers all the time. A lot of players think he's overrated. Did that any of that stuff come into play?
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. And there was a good stretch of the first half of last season. Josh Allen made way too many mistakes. I thought he tried to do entirely too much. And the Bills made a lot of mistakes at the first half of last season, too. But then they went on, well, I think it was like a five-game winning streak against five pretty tough opponents, if memory serves. And he was outstanding. And he got himself right back into the heat of the MVP conversation. So the highs are certainly high. The lows have certainly some questions. And he still needs to prove that he can get over the hump in the playoffs. But, you know, I heard or I saw the player polls where some players think that he's overrated. Just, again, kind of my research and talking to coaches and high-ranking executives, you know, GM types across the league for the last month and a half or so, he is absolutely not overrated by that viewpoint.
Okay. Kind of the quarterback that everybody's so interested here. We're speaking with Jeff Howe here on the BetQL guest line. You can follow Jeff at Jeff P. Howe, H-O-W-E, national NFL writer for The Athletic. The guy that everybody in Washington cares the most about is Jaden Daniels. And I gotta really say, I think this is a really fair assessment in your risers and fallers, kind of the quarterback stock market. He's got Jaden to start the year at 22.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a rookie quarterback going into something brand new offense, a lot of brand new pieces, that sounds totally right to me. He has a real opportunity, I would guess, to rise higher in your rankings. What do you make of Jaden this year?
I think very highly of him. And that goes back to probably December, maybe even November. You know, the quarterback draft class was such an important story last season that I started doing a lot of work on it probably late September, early October. And a big reason for that is, like, as I like to tell people, especially during draft time, when everybody's like, well, it's lying season, people are telling you this, and it's really that. I try to get as much of a consistent opinion starting in October if there's an important draft class, quarterback draft class coming up, just because when the answers or the responses or the feedback I'm getting in, like, let's say February start to change, then I can start to call people on it, because then I'm starting to wonder, all right, are you lying to me? Are you trying to sell me something that a bill of goods that doesn't exist here? So the opinion on Jaden Daniels really started to skyrocket late November, early December. I thought that he, you know, the debate between Jaden and Drake May, 2 and 3, I thought was fascinating. I didn't think there was a wrong answer. So I think he has a chance to be really special. We'll see how quickly he's able to get there, because there are still some questions, I think, on the offensive line. And certainly at the skill position players, you never know what you're going to get with a new coaching regime. The people I've spoken to around the league think extremely highly of what Adam Peters is doing. And I know Dan Quinn has an outstanding reputation, and something that's also close to home for you guys. I mean, the fact that Dan Quinn has left the Cowboys has a lot of people around the league very concerned that that team is ready for a crash landing because of the defensive changes. So that could be like a double win for the Washington crowd. But I think if you look at Jaden sitting there at 22, is his ceiling higher than Geno Smith? I think there's a very high probability of that. It might be higher than Baker Mayfield. I think if you ask, you know, 50 people around the league, would they rather have Jaden Daniels right now or Jared Goff? I would say that at least 70% would probably defer to Jaden. So, yeah, the ability for him to climb up the board is absolutely exists. But, you know, you look at Caleb Williams I have there at 19. That's the highest rookie. That might even be too high before any of these guys have played a game. But looking at, I thought what was really interesting, and I didn't even realize it necessarily, as I was putting this together, but you look at quarterbacks 19 through 32, so that starts with Caleb Williams and goes down to Gardner Minshew. Every single one of those guys, except Anthony Richardson at 21, is either changing teams, head coaches, or offensive play callers. So there is a massive amount of the possibility for fluctuation in that 19 to 32 range, just because there's so much of an unknown because of these new circumstances they're all playing in.
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty damn fascinating to see how much change there is, but what's going to be expected of these guys. Are you surprised kind of by the excitement level that Anthony Richardson continues to garner?
A little bit, because he hasn't really shown it yet. Right. I mean, he showed the flashes, of course, no denying that. My biggest concern, as I think everybody should have, is he played, he had started four games last season, I believe it was, and I believe he was injured in at least three, if not all four of them. Now, they weren't all game-ending injuries, but they were injuries that caused him to at least stay down on the turf for a little bit longer than anybody on that Colts sideline would have liked. And he plays in, you know, sort of an aggressive style, certainly exposes him to bigger hits as a running or a quarterback who can run. So, yeah, he's got to prove that he can stay healthy. And you know, I had the category in there of the injury questions, and there's a pile of quarterbacks who have to prove they can stay healthy for a variety of reasons. So Anthony Richardson is, you look at the coaching job by Shane Steichen and that staff and Anthony Richardson's talent, and just kind of going back to my pre-draft evaluation from speaking to people around the league in 2023, you see why people think, a lot of people think that his ceiling is incredibly high. But yeah, he has to go out and prove it.
Yeah, I mean, it's that simple. I wanted to switch to something else you wrote last week, because there continued to be speculation that like Bill Belichick was an option in Washington. Despite pretty clear messaging from the organization, myself included, that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. They eventually hired Dan Quinn, like you said earlier. It's kind of silly. I watched the Miami-Florida game over the weekend, the college game, and the Hurricanes have this receiver, Restrepo, I think his name is, and just watching his game, I was like, oh, my God, that's the ultimate Belichick wideout. And then I'm like, I wonder where Belichick's going to end up, because I don't think it's over for that dude. What does your reporting tell you?
I think it's a long shot that he winds up coaching again. But, you know, the one thing that you just truly cannot predict is this is an ownership decision. And it's certainly for somebody like Belichick. But, you know, something that I think goes overlooked is, you know, you can empower your general manager and or these committees that are on these head coaching searches. And you can take their feedback and you can respect it and you can trust it. But these head coaching hires are almost exclusively ownership decisions. Like this comes down to the person up top making that call. So, you can sit there and say, you know, if the Cowboys go one and done again, or if they don't make the playoffs, certainly Mike McCarthy's job would be in severe jeopardy. And you could sit there and say, all right, well, Jerry Jones is not going to give up GM responsibility. He's made that abundantly clear about 1,000 times. And Jerry Jones is not about to sit there and ignore Will McClay and his eye for talent that's gotten them into the position to win a dozen games, three straight regular seasons in a row. So you can't sit there and say, well, you know what? If Bill Belichick walks up and says, hey, look, I want to coach and I can lead this team to a potential Super Bowl over the next 2 or 3 years, you know, Jerry Jones might say, okay, you know what? If you want to coach and you let the personnel be up to me, I could go for that. And we know that Jerry is not afraid to make a bold decision. Now, going back to last hiring cycle, yeah, I mean, there was some flirtation between Belichick and the Falcons, but that thing was never nearly as close as a lot of people tried to portray that it was going to be. Certainly, as you guys saw with Washington, I agree with you there. That was even farther from happening than anything in Atlanta. And you just kind of – I heard all the reasons why. You know, they saw his inability to develop a quarterback in the post-Tom Brady era. And part of that was his handling of Tom Brady's departure or the events that led to Tom Brady's departure. You look at Belichick's potential inability – and I shouldn't say potential – Belichick's inability to really cater or empower a younger generation of players – who want to be coached hard but don't want to be screamed at every hour of every day or during every meeting. I mean, that stuff goes a long way, and that stuff is real. And I've written this in the past because you have the older generation of football fans who will hear that. You know, they grew up and watched football be played a certain way, and it's like, oh, well, you know what, suck it up and just take the hard coaching. That's just not the case anymore. So if you want to just say, you know what, you want to turn a blind eye to it, you're turning a blind eye to an incredibly important aspect of team building and player empowerment that's very important in today's NFL. And then you look at the way that Belichick mishandled Mac Jones for 2 years. You could pin it on the Matt Patricia promotion. You could pin it on any number of different things. But I can tell you with a high degree of certainty, that was not a situation conducive to any quarterback having success. And teams saw that. And then, you know, you're going to have, you know, I go back to the ownership, the importance of the ownership decision, but you're going to have front offices who are going to say, hey, like, let's not rip up our entire structure. And it's going to take a very stable organization to sit there and tell Bill Belichick, look, you're going to come in and you're going to coach only. Or if they really want to bend and say you can run personnel, you know, that's a short-term type of gamble. It's short-sighted, because what's going to happen when Belichick turns 75 in 3 seasons or what have you and potentially wants to walk away? You know, Belichick on his side of it is tricky too, because he needs 15 wins to pass Don Shula.
Yep.
And that, if he goes to an organization that's ready to win now, and I think that's the only fit that would make any sort of sense. I don't see any reason for a team or for Bill Belichick to look at a long-term rebuild being the answer for him to get back on the sideline. It's what is his fastest path to 15 wins, and does that make the sense for Belichick, and does it make sense for the organization? So a lot of things are going to have to come together, which makes me think that, again, it's going to be a long shot that Belichick coaches again. But the one thing you just truly cannot predict is what's going through the mind of an owner. And what happens over the next 4 months that may or may not sway an owner's decision in a degree that, you know, maybe we're not prepared to see.
I think when you look at him, he's proven that he's not that good at personnel. But if he walk into a building and they win anything, he's getting the credit. And a lot of these owners don't want that to happen either.
Or the GMs.
The GMs damn sure don't want that. Because if he walks in, they're number two anyway.
Hey, Jeff, last one. This is from the Banana Land Factory. But there are a lot of folks guessing that if it doesn't go great for Mike McCarthy and Dak and the Cowboys this year, that you see Deion and Shador land into Dallas. What do you make of that?
Honestly, it's a very similar answer to the Belichick one, where you have no idea what Jerry's going to be thinking in terms of, like, all right, if they truly need to blow it up and start in a brand new direction, Deion would be a fascinating hire. Deion still needs to prove a lot of things at the college level. I mean, I did some work on this last season too, and it was when they started 3-0, and it was like, okay, does this guy have head coaching ability in the NFL? And the teams I spoke to said, yeah, I mean, you owe it to yourself if he puts himself in that spot where he does want to come to the league. You owe it to yourself to at least inquire for an interview, mm-hmm. just to see where his head's at. Does they think that his model can translate from college to the NFL? And if they think that it's possible, yeah, go after him. But, you know, the caveat there was, yeah, they're 3-0 against three kind of bad teams. What's going to happen when they play Oregon? What's going to happen when they play Washington? What's going to happen when they play these harder teams? And we saw what happened. You know, they weren't nearly as good as they showed in September. But now that he's had an extra year to recruit and go through the transfer portal and stuff like the NIL stuff that he's clearly very good at, we might see different results. So I absolutely believe that if any team thinks that Deion Sanders could be a valuable head coach, at minimum, you owe it to yourself to reach out and see if he's interested in an interview. And if it goes beyond that, I think that'd be an awesome storyline. Him going to Dallas would be outstanding. So if it happens, that'd be a fun one.
It'd be wild, but it wouldn't necessarily shock. You know what I mean?
Nah, I won't.
Jerry's wild. Deion's wild. The whole world's wild. Hey, Jeff, thank you so much for joining us, man. Hopefully we can do it again as the season keeps going.
Sounds good, guys. Keep in touch. Thanks for having me.
All right. Jeff Howe from The Athletic. Really good info there. Give him a follow at Jeff P. Howe. Speaking of Jeff Walker claims he's going to buy a Nats jersey. Whose is it? Tell you next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
106.7 The Fan. Brian, question for you.
What you got?
You and I know this because, Jeff, what is what, Jeff?
We got a camera that follows you, but
bro,
it don't
follow
you back.
It's not his camera's fault at this point. Like, like, at some point.
So you saying it's B's fault?
No, I said that incorrectly.
Okay.
Get a new camera.
Dude.
The cameras are $70 on Amazon.
Dude, see, you just talking. Don't, man, it followed him and had. And
but why don't
it
follow me
up
back when I come?
Because it picked JP up.
She didn't know that we don't look alike. I mean, damn.
I don't think you see color B.
It needs to
y'all
see something.
Y'all both ugly.
It's just remarkable.
I'm gonna be nice to Jeff today.
Like, I definitely think we launched, at least in this studio, the YouTube stream was launched with extra cameras laying around from people's wives' work computers. Like, no one bought this. Because they don't even match up. Like,
are they,
there's
are
no
they cameras
chance
that they were doing other stuff with? We don't know.
Yo, OnlyFans leftovers, whatever these are from, can you just look at these two cameras and tell me you think someone randomly purchased these
they're not
two?
Even the same brand.
One was steady and one right was following the action.
They're not the same brand. They're not the same type. Like, maybe let's give them the benefit of the doubt, B. Maybe they wanted to test both out and see which was best, and that's why they ordered two completely random different cameras.
Know what I'll say about that? Yeah, right.
I mean, good God. But shout out to all the people on the stream. We appreciate you.
Yes, we do.
B.
Yes.
You and I know this because we're going to have a hell of a September. We're going to be very, very busy traveling. But then things chill way the hell out until December. There is not another plane ride for the Washington Commanders from October 1st till December 14th. Two and a half months with no travel. You got an away game in Baltimore, a Thursday nighter in Philly, but like easy, easy travel.
Yes.
There have been years where people, Chris Russell, have been up in arms about the Commanders' schedule, the Commanders' travel demands, and you have often been dismissive of it. You're like, yo, they're flying private. This is life as a pro baller.
Yeah.
The flip side of that is this year, they traveled the least amount of miles of any team in the NFL.
True.
Does it matter?
I don't think it matters. And I think if I dismiss it when they are traveling a lot, I'm going to dismiss it when they're driving close. Because ultimately it comes down to how you're going to be prepared. Or are you going to be fresh and ready to go? You know, you can get on an airplane flying from here to San Fran and sleep. Or you can get on an airplane and have some fun like we would do sometimes. You'll win the game. You might lose it. But it had nothing to do with the travel at all. So right now, they don't travel as much as most teams. Well,
I think it's
that takes it away from when you
kind of significantly less.
It's significantly less. But see, now we take that excuse out for those that are looking for excuses. But the mere fact now is, hey, you're basically playing a better or a level playing field. Handle your business.
Well, I think it's also, all right, so this graphic has been making the rounds, I suppose, here. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing it via Fox Sports NFL on Twitter. So they travel 10,550 miles. Next closest is the Bengals at 10,600, then Indy at 11,500. A lot of this is also just a byproduct of, like, being on the East Coast in the Mid-Atlantic. Like, a lot of stuff's just right here. and this happens to be a year where they play the AFC North, what's the how far away is Cincinnati? It's like a 90-minute flight, right? Like, it's not.
You go up, you're coming down.
So I think this is just one of those kind of fluky travel things. But the teams that travel the most are probably going to be the Niners and the Rams and the Seahawks.
They probably travel the most every time because that's where they live.
Yo, exactly. And what I was going to say is the Seahawks had a 10, maybe 15-year run of being really freaking good, of being a playoff contender. They won a Super Bowl. They lost a Super Bowl. Like, the Seahawks emerged for a period as one of the NFL's elite franchises, right? Is that a fair statement over a decade's time?
Yeah.
They did all right with the travel.
They normally do.
You know what I mean?
The 49ers.
The Niners are pretty damn good.
The Niners were in the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
That's with that travel, right?
Right.
Okay.
Kansas City's division games. Division. Denver, Vegas, and L.A. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long those are, but those are all legitimate flights from Kansas City.
Totally.
So, like, I don't know. I think we make too much of it. It's kind of interesting. And on a personal level, I'm into it. I'm not racking up the frequent flyer miles, but I'll take it just for weekends at home and chilling. I think it might help that, honestly, from a straight scheduling perspective, I think one of the best things for this team and this organization is not a ton of primetime. And that's not because their recent track record on primetime games is pretty damn bad, but I just think the best thing that can happen for Washington with year one of Jaden and a year one of a rebuild, fly a little below the radar, because I don't know that the win total is going to pop here, but I think you could see a team that really starts to improve Thanksgiving, Christmas, down the stretch, and I think that's what's most important for this team this year.
Yeah. But listen, man, as I said for many a times, we discuss everything but the actual play because we have not been good. Once we're good, then people will understand that it's no different here than it was anywhere else. We just didn't have anything to talk about, so we made excuses about everything else. Travel means nothing. I've seen people have to not get on the plane and come down here and play and lose games and come down here and win games sometimes. Doesn't make a difference. How many games we won at home last year, I want people to know. Ask that question.
Yeesh.
We won one game on the road, or one or two, whatever it was.
I know, let's count it. They won the opener, right?
Yeah.
Right? They were 2-0, so they had to win the opener.
Yeah.
And then they won in Denver. They won in New England.
And one more on the road. They didn't win one game at home. They didn't travel to go at home, people. So it don't make a difference, right?
Landfill, this Commanders team will travel the least of any team in the NFL this year. Doesn't matter.
I don't really think it does, no.
Last year, they won the opener at home against the Cardinals. Listen, we're almost exactly a year removed from this. That game was September 10th, 2023. Play a little trivia game here.
If it was baseball, I think it would matter a little bit more because, you know, you're playing so frequently.
Yeah.
But I think in football, you can get there with enough time to kind of acclimate
yourself.
If it
matters, no team would win 1-0 games at home. If it truly mattered.
I think what matters is more like the physical logistics of travel, not the road crowd. But let's just pop quiz, everybody. Pop quiz, hot shot, Jeff. The Commanders won week one last year against the Arizona Cardinals. Who started at quarterback for the Cardinals? This is...
Dobbs.
Good job, Jeffrey.
Oh.
I did not expect you to pull that, man. I'm going to be honest. I didn't remember.
Tell him, Jeff, don't be trying me, son.
Didn't they trade for him like 10 days before he started?
Jeff, don't try you, son.
Kyler was hurt, and they were supposed to go to Colt, and then they like released Colt, remember? And then they traded for Josh Dobbs. Honestly, I remember back at the time when Washington started 2-0, and there was just so much excitement. Wow, mystery solved. Shout out to Wendy. Let's just say this. B-Mitch had a question
Jeff, I know who to call.
Jeff consistently could not and did not answer it and kind of told B. Mitch he was wrong, and then Wendy saved the day. Is that accurate, B?
I'll say yeah.
That's not accurate at all because I do not handle the mail here.
Landfill, do you think my version of events is accurate?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, y'all really haters.
So, just in short, thank you to Wendy. No thank you to Jeff. We got to make some bets.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. You've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Well, we have something a little different for you. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a 3-week free trial of an NFL Sunday ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with a YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to download America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. Full price of NFL Sunday ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after the free trial. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We didn't get to it today. Landfill, you don't have that Todd Bowles audio readily available, do you, before we get to Heard It Here First? There's something I want to say about this. Todd Bowles, Tampa Bay Buccaneers head coach who used to play here and has a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah.
I think if you find yourself just facing a rookie quarterback, the other 10 guys going to kill you. So we're facing the Redskins. We're not facing Jaden Daniels. They got 10 other guys that we got to worry about as well. So we don't look at it as facing a rookie quarterback. We're trying to beat the Redskins.
Listen, Todd Bowles played for this organization for 7 years and won a Super Bowl here.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to call them the Redskins, and we have got to get to a place where people stop with the, okay, change the name back. Not you're entitled to your opinion, but it's not going to happen. The owner said it's not going to happen. So when Todd Bowles says that, just be like, oh, cool, that's how he remembers them.
I think that
keep it moving.
That one thing you said, and that's the only thing that people need to listen to, the owner says it's not going to happen. And I think the way we solve it, when somebody starts losing their mind on social media, leave it on social media. We don't have to talk about it on the radio.
I agree.
Because it's the same people, no matter what is said, what is done, who says it, who try to whisper something. The same people are going to come out with the same stuff all the time.
I say skins all the time and never really bats an eyelash, although the one time I accidentally tweeted it, it was like, I think there are bots out there programmed. Honestly, I think there are bots that just try to cause trouble.
When
all the
you
time.
Say most things, people go, you don't know what you're talking about. When you say something about that, you know what you're talking about.
Right. So, right.
Hey, man, sometimes you just got to let them go. Let them do what they want to do. Keep moving.
Jeff, does your The World is Full of Haters model believe that there are bots out there just trying to kick controversy with the old name stuff?
Yes, because they're hating on a new name.
I think there's some hating on the new name. I think there's some people just love the old name and the history. And I think, unfortunately, there's far more just politically minded culture war people that want to cause trouble at all times.
Most of the people that probably say something immediately when you say it, they don't have any damn any dog in the race,
right.
Any horse in the race. They basically are like, I'm going to just say something because they don't give a damn which way it goes.
Yo, they're from Oregon or Mississippi and they root for the Seahawks and the Saints and they're just in it to
start stuff.
Don't start no stuff, won't be no stuff.
Just ignore them most times.
Let's make some bets.
Heard it here first.
Gather around.
What you got to say is heard it here first. Dude, after so much football over Labor Day weekend, I'm like in withdrawal that there's nothing to bet on tonight. Like, give me Monday night football. I guess it's Tuesday.
I got my bet is that I bet JP going to find something to bet on.
I found something to bet
on. Can I get that minus 190?
I'm taking Tiafo, U.S. Open tonight.
Oh, yo, we got Tiafo tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Quarterfinals?
He's playing Dimitrov.
Is quarterfinals 16 or 8?
I think it's 8.
Ryan?
I think it's 8.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. He's getting there, dude.
Quarter.
And, dude, isn't Alcatraz out?
Yeah, Alcatraz is out.
Man, name is not Alcatraz.
It's easier to remember.
No.
Give us a quick U.S. Open rundown. Who all's left? I'll be watching Tiafoe tonight.
Well, Tiafoe and Dimitrov
if people go to Alcatraz, They won't remember. They don't want to remember that.
Fritz and Zarev.
Fritz and Zarev.
They're
play.
Left too.
They're about to tee off. They're about to.
Yeah, like
drop
right
the,
now.
Drop the ball. What do you call the start of a tennis match? Hit the first serve.
I guess.
Yeah. I don't know, but they're about to start. So it looks like there's. Can I get a bracket, dog? What, like Google? Come on, man. Most important company in the world. Let me get a bracket. It'd be so dope if Tiafo won the U.S. Open. If anybody else has a bet,
I would
fire
love
away.
To see that.
Give me Dallas -6. They're playing the Mystics.
All right, so
Dallas who?
The Wings.
Landfill's right. There's 8 people left in the U.S. Open. Sinner versus Medvedev is tomorrow night. Draper versus Manauer. I'm sure I'm.
So what's come? Tiafoe won that. It was a match. They went 5 sets the other day. He was won that last
against,
set.
Against Popperin.
They were going at it.
A pair of Americans going today. Fritz versus Zarev. Fritz is an American. And then Dimitrov versus Tiafoe tonight at 8:30. That will be on my television, Landfill. Thank you for reminding me of that.
I want the Pirates and the Guardians. Bam.
Bam. Jeff, do I have this correct that you are on the Dallas Wings tonight?
Yes.
Give me the sticks and the points, baby. I stay betting on the Mystics.
Hey, you going to start your week 0-1 too. I don't care.
Mystics, they're like hot. Like they're playing themselves out of the number one pick. Who everybody's, what's the young woman's name from UConn that was so good? Paige Buckets, I think. They might not even get her. 2 days till we get to watch football, folks. Chiefs-Ravens, Thursday night. Thank you to everybody that listened to the program today. Thank you to Barstool Nate. Thank you to Armin Katayan. And thank you to Jeff Howe. Thank you to the boys in the aquarium. Shout out to Wendy for finding the package that Jeff was completely unable to find. Tomorrow will be in Ashburn. Thursday will be in Ashburn. Friday, D-City Smokehouse. Come out. Hang with us. Eat wings. Drink beers.
Yeah. One or two of them.
Grant and Danny coming your way next. You made it this far. We owe you a beer.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.